To order, you on? Okay. And we have in attendance with us Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Woods, Councilman Tackett, Co-Chairman Councilman Jay Street, Councilman George Smiley, Councilman Cartier, and Councilman Weiner, and Karen Barlow, our legislative. I'm sorry. And our President Pro Tem, Councilman Penrose Hollins. Okay. What's your pleasure with the minutes of the previous meeting?
Motion approved.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the minutes from the previous meeting. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Okay. Going to ask Councilman Street will handle like 16077 and then Councilman Tackett will handle 16070. But in light of the fact that Councilman, our Chairman of Finance, was involved in kind of helping facilitate this particular ordinance in a timely manner, I was going to ask Councilman Smiley if he would kind of give a brief overview of what the reasoning was behind it, and then certainly Co-Chairman Street and anyone else can add to it. But ordinance number 16076, amend the grants budget, appropriate $30,300 in federal funds through the State of Delaware Office of Highway Safety to the Office of Highway Safety 2016 Law Enforcement Speed Equipment Grant to be administered by the Department of Public Safety. Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, in short, this is a $30,300 grant for traffic speed enforcement for Newcastle County. What happened was, pretty much at the last minute, our Department of Public Safety was notified that they were eligible for a grant for $30,300. However, everything had to be in place by the end of July, which is why we expedited the introduction of this legislation as an item L at our last meeting so that it can be vetted, voted this evening, hopefully passed, and then that puts them in line to get the product that they need in order to receive the funding. Some of this will go to replace units that are outdated, outmoded, not functional. Some will go to purchase new, whatever way that balances out. Bottom line is, this is one of those things that came up pretty much almost at the final hour where this council acted swiftly to get the legislation moved, as I know we can do, so that we don't lose the opportunity for this additional funding.
It goes without saying sometimes, but needs to be said. I know Councilman Street and myself both appreciate you taking the initiative to kind of, you know, get it put in place and get it done for us and everything. And I know that our police department appreciates it. So any comment on this particular ordinance from our department, police department? Okay.
We just appreciate council's help, and we needed the help quickly. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chief. Okay, ordinance number 16077, Councilman Street, amend the grants budget, transfer $40,275 in state aid to local law enforcement SALI funds from the State of Delaware Department of Safety and Homeland Security, from the Newcastle County Department of Public Safety SALI Interview Room Video System Grant, to the Newcastle County Department of Public Safety SALI Explosives Magazine Grant. Co-Chairman Street.
Life. I'm going for lifelong.
I don't blame you with this one. Chief?
Colonel Setting, County Police. I think everybody gets to hear from me enough. I'm going to defer to the folks that really know this stuff, in particular our Administrator Branch Commander, Major Feaser, and Captain Crow. So they'll answer any questions and explain where we're at with the interview rooms in this grant.
Two lifelong.
Okay, Captain?
Good afternoon, Captain Crow, County Police. These funds were originally approved by council for the purchase of upgrades to our current interview room system back in January of this year. However, what happened is we engaged in a contract with Taser International for body-worn cameras, and as part of that contract, we were able to include a new interview room solution. And what we're trying to do is bring all of our digital media, both video and pictures, onto one platform to make it easier for our personnel to use, share with the department, with the Attorney General's office, etc. So with that contract, that freed up these funds. About the same time, we were informed by the Delaware National Guard of new mandate they have at the range, that they allow us to have our the property that they have on River Road, and they allow us to have our range on. One of those mandates is we have to have a hardened ammunition storage bunker, and that's the Department of Defense mandate. So what we're asking is to, we already went through SALI, had the money approved, and what we're asking is to be able to have the council's blessing to use that money for the purchase of that hardened bunker for the safety and the thoroughness of the office.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Questions from council? Councilman Smiling, and Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
I want to make an observation here, and it's when I read legislation like this that we have, that my frustration level grows, because I know it won't be long that I'll hear on the radio or read in the press where they will carte blanche question expenditures of Delaware public safety as a whole. These, when we do it, it's clear. At Newcastle County level, all the funds we expend are clear, open for the public to see. So when they're running their mouths on the radio, or the reporters are writing about, and Delaware, the police spend money on this, and you know it's taken from potential victims, and we don't know how it's spent, not in Newcastle County. Every dollar, we know where it goes, we know how it goes, and I'm just very pleased to be associated with this, and I think I'm about to hear you wanted to start it, so I will yield to Councilman Street.
Mr. Co-Chairman.
Well, it's either that or the shoestrings, so I'm going with the glass. But yeah, that's just, like I said, my opinion. I'm happy we do things the way we are, and it bothers me that, you know, we get packaged in with the bundle because people don't want to do their homework before they report. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I don't want to disappoint him since he opened up another door. Not now, because I'm about to say I blindsided him, but in the presentation just now, talked about body cameras, and I would like at some point in time, in the not too distant future, to see if you can have some discussion update as it relates to the use of body cameras.
Okay. Thank you, Councilman. Chief. Okay. Any other question or suggestions? Okay, Councilman Smiley?
No, I thought Councilwoman Kilpatrick had.
No, I just moved my hand and he interpreted it as if I wanted to talk.
You know, us Italians. Us Italians.
Like nobody to hit here.
Us Italians, anytime you see hands move, you think it's somebody trying to talk to you.
He's too new to hit.
All right. Hearing none other, we'll go to ordinance number 16-070. Councilman Tackett, to amend Newcastle County Code, Chapter 22, Offenses and Miscellaneous Provisions Regarding Disorderly Premises and Public Nuisance. Councilman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, this ordinance will add another leg to the disorderly premise ordinance that I was a sponsor of several years ago, and police have worked on this extensively and have brought this forward for our introduction and consideration, and we have them here tonight to talk about this and exactly how this will be a useful tool.
Okay. Good afternoon, Council. Appreciate the time. Sergeant Wesley Reynolds, I'm the commander for the Community Services Unit. I have Corporal Crowley here with me today. I won't keep you long, but just this sort of premises has become a very effective tool, not only for the agency, but for community services. As you know, a lot of our calls for service or peak calls, nuisance calls, anywhere from prostitution, gambling, fights, what have you. A lot of those calls are obviously affecting the quality of life for residents in our communities. So we utilize this disorderly premise an awful lot throughout the year. I just ran some stats. Since January, we've had 42 disorderly premise investigations open, not only by patrol, but by community services. To date, we've had 6 of those result in arrest. Why so little arrest is because most of the time when we go and we deliver that disorderly premise the first time, it's very effective. A lot of people, a lot of the residents are not aware of this ordinance, and once we make them aware, it usually corrects the behavior. Every now and then, and that's the 6 that we've made arrest on, are those repeat offenders. What we're asking for is, in the new ordinance, the adjustment is to, for those who violated within two times within a 12-month period, that we get that much closer to the nuisance abatement through the state of Delaware. One of our major success stories has been on Memorial Drive. That was a residence, I believe we had 5 disorderly premise arrests before we finally were able to get that nuisance abatement. This will get us there quicker. We are working on one right now in another community over off of Route 9. And, you know, had we had this already, we probably would be talking about doing a nuisance abatement. So we would like to get this in and get it settled so that we can move forward with more effective disorderly premise arrest.
Okay. Co-Chairman Street.
Am I correct? Nuisance abatement is a very eloquent way of saying we're taking the Durant house?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. I just would like to understand what constitutes a public nuisance. I've read this, and I see after two arrests, prohibited conduct as defined in a particular section for which arrests have been made a result of at least two separate occurrences within a 12-month period, the premises shall be deemed a public nuisance. Just for the record and for my edification, could you explain more specifically what that refers?
Okay, so for instance, and I won't mention the community, however, one particular address we're dealing with right now, we've had calls for service for prostitution occurring in a disabled vehicle that's parked on the property. We've had drug dealing complaints. We've been able to verify some of both. We've already made an arrest in the case for disorderly premise. We're still working on the drug angle as well. We, in turn, went back a few weeks later because the community, again, was making those 911 calls saying that there was gathering out front, public drunkenness, loud noise, loud parties, and we made a second arrest already at that same location. Mm-hmm. So that's what we mean by that nuisance residence being a public nuisance for those, you know, with families around.
So
that it, nuisance property.
It can be a collection of various other ordinances. Once they reach a certain trigger point, then the public safety authority of the county comes into play to move to take control or ownership of the premises. I just want to understand.
Yeah, yes, but that is very rare. What the sergeant's saying, Councilman, is that by the time we do what we call our first knock and talk, where we knock on the door and explain you're headed towards a disorderly premise, and here are the stages that it goes through, the end game is taking house. Since we've begun this, we have many, many success stories that we wouldn't have enough time to cover.
Yes.
We've only taken one residence, and that was a man who was running a prostitution ring out of his house. He wasn't some genius, he was really being taken advantage of by the situation. But nonetheless, after multiple arrests, multiple warnings, multiple meetings with county law, this is the route he continued down.
Exactly. And just so that I understand, has this ever been challenged for constitutionality for being vague?
Through the Attorney General's office, yes. But again, they're another entity that's using this more and more and more because your prostitution arrest, your quality of life crime arrest is a revolving door. They're in, they're out, they're done, they're back going, and it doesn't mean anything to them. They're not even paying the fine. But when you tell somebody you can't live here, you tell the renter, we're going to hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. As we've done with apartment complexes that said, no, we're not putting up additional lighting, no, we're not putting up fences, no, we're not doing any of that, and we told them, okay, we're going to come after the building, we're going to put up the lighting and the fences. And that's exactly the type of responses we get. And when you tell folks, we're not going to arrest you, we're going to take your house, or we're not going to let you live here, or hold the renter responsible, and he moves them out, it changes the dynamic, it changes the game. Once again, arrest isn't always the answer. Disorderly premise has given us a leg up on a lot of quality of life crime in Newcastle County.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Co-Chairman Street, followed by Councilwoman Kilpatrick.
Well, my recollection, the Chief, correct me if I'm wrong, but part of the genesis of this was under the initiative of then Attorney General Bobot. I recall a press conference being held at Rose Hill where new legislation was proposed, enacted, and subsequently passed, which comports with mm-hmm.
You are correct, sir.
Okay. And just so in my experience, I got a house in Rosegate, and they sell drugs in and out of there like it's popcorn, like ice cream sundae. We go in, we lock everybody in the house up. at 11 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock in the morning, they back out selling drugs. So we finally went at it with the nuisance abatement. We went in, shut the house down. I got cussed out. I was happy to get cussed out, so forth and so on. We didn't get the property, but it changed primary people renting, so forth and so on. But for the most part, it works one way or another. Generally, based on this, what I know is happening and what is happening in houses in my district, when the we make the perfect whatever it is they perfect and present it, and the owner understands it's not going to be business as usual, and very few are naive and stupid enough to not do something curtailed at the inappropriate time.
Thank you.
Councilwoman Kilpatrick, followed by Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. So this doesn't have to be the same offense. It just has to be the same premise. It can be any offense, but the same premise twice in a year.
Yes, ma'am. Now,
okay.
Most of the time, domestic-related offenses don't apply because we then have to offer different resources if they, mm-hmm. if the family needs, like a family crisis. We're talking about, again, your public drunkenness, those type of disorderly complaints that everyone in the community can basically see that's going on.
Right, but it could be prostitution one time and drugs another time, and that, as long as it's the same premise.
That's correct, ma'am.
That, okay.
Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. I just want to thank Councilman Tackett for this initiative to create the disorderly premise ordinance. And really what it does is it gets our police off the treadmill of constantly responding to a property for constant problems with no end in sight. And this ordinance gives us the ability to go right after the property owner and hold them responsible for the activity that goes on in their property. So in that sense, it's been a really great tool, and I understand that. And what we're doing here is just lowering the threshold a little bit to get to that potential nuisance abatement and hold that threat over the heads of the property owner. So I'm all in favor of that. So.
I think it's important to note, the chief touched on it, and also Councilman Cartier, is a lot of times the rental properties, people who own them, their owners, they have no clue what's going on there.
Now they live in New York.
Right, and once we notify them and they're aware of it, then things change very quickly. So.
Okay, any other questions? Coach Sherman Street.
If Councilman Smiley reflects back, I think he'd be correct in saying I've changed my position about taking properties, because I remember once he said, well, Street J, I'm not going to talk about taking properties, but yeah. Well, at the point where you're allowing all this inappropriate conduct to go on, you're wreaking havoc in the entire community, then yeah, I reverse my position, because it's not right, it's not fair, and I get sick of hearing about it, so I know they get sick of it.
Councilman Powers?
First stop here.
We have it recorded.
I guess this is in the county, but it falls for state police jurisdiction.
No, it's a county ordinance, and basically what happens is, like Councilman just said, we want to just add a little more bite to it to get us to that nuisance abatement through the state if we need to take a property.
Because I've got a house, and this problem isn't only in your district. In a rural area, that 3/4 of the house is in Newcastle mm-hmm. County, a quarter of it's in Maryland, but it's on the Maryland, King County, Maryland tax rolls. And the problem was the state police didn't know whose jurisdiction it was between the Maryland state police. Finally held it up, but this house has had a lot of damn problems. I thought because most of the houses in Delaware, it would be on our tax rolls. It's not. It's in Maryland, in Kent County, Maryland. But I think who busted them was because they were dealing in the front yard with Delaware.
Oh, no.
But does this fall? Because it is a property, and you're doing an ordinance for a county ordinance.
You give me the address.
Does that fall?
Research.
Then they may go to the backyard.
But for the longest time, they just kept going because nobody knew who the hell it was. And it wasn't under your jurisdiction. The state police didn't know what
to do. Well, there are state laws that can vary this. I mean, there are disorderly premise laws. The agent's office has a unit that works on the
property. Yeah, well, I have a lot of damn problems that come with drugs down in my area because they move around from roads to roads.
Or room to room.
Well, that one's room to room.
Well, first chance.
But, I mean, you know, part of the problem was a year ago with a lot of the burglaries, and at the same time, the last one they busted, I said they were on my road, called the state police, and they finally got them. The neighbor was going to run them off. I said, just let them keep doing that. Caught them.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but if you're asking me if we can use this in state jurisdiction, I'll tell you that we have done it. There's a club on Kirkwood Highway that has changed its name probably 3 times. I think it's called Delaware Live now, that we have actually used the disorderly premise in our newest ordinance to make arrests at that location.
But I guess, so, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, because I used to hear about that every Sunday when I went to
I'm
work.
Saying it is a Newcastle County property, but it's on a rural road, so it's a jurisdictional thing, which the state police don't want to give it up. Because we had a meeting about a month or 2 ago. It's a mess.
I'll just take it.
Councilman Smiley, then Councilman Tackett.
I was just going to say, I know when all this first started, our officers partnered with the state for the Hollywood Hotel Avalon 13. That was the first one that we ever actually threatened to take and started the action. And then they started fixing up, putting the lights, the fence, because it impacted the residential community directly behind it. So I know it does work in those instances.
Councilman Tackett.
So you're staying in Maryland. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, several years ago when I worked on this legislation and populated with an excellent attorney, we had involved Herschel Persh. Constitutional issues were brought up then as just prior to the passage, and actually a lot of people tried to use that to stop it. And Herschel stood very firm on the fact that it wasn't going to violate, you know, the constitutional issues. And today it has stood, and hopefully will continue. And with this, you know, when the police sent this over, you know, with the thought and the premise, Carol worked pretty hard on this, you know, with, you know, herself and I getting it back and then getting it back to the police for them to review and make sure this is doing what they wanted to do. So we feel that, you know, here today we've got a very nice piece of legislation that should, in a sense, be able to do what they're looking to do. And since we populated that disorderly premise legislation, the state did, in fact, come up with their own. I think Patty Blevins was the one who actually did it and mirrored ours to come up with it to get it up in the state. And the AG's office was very interested in it, so it has turned into something that has been successful not only for the county but in the state also.
Yeah, I think when it ends up, I think a lot of folks in other jurisdictions look towards Newcastle County, some of the legislation mm-hmm. introduced in this particular piece here as model type legislation. So we're clearly leaders, you know, when it comes to things of this nature. Any other question, concerns, input? Sergeant Wesley Reynolds.
Yes, sir.
I want to personally thank you from my district, but also on behalf of council. We know that summer months are tough months with staffing and trying to keep everybody out on the street. But we had situations just recently. Baby Manor was one of them down off River Road. The community was outraged with squatters that had taken over a vacant property. You and your staff, personnel within your unit, did a tremendous job there. York Farms community meeting back on Monday, June 20th. Don't want to say that it was out of control, but it was certainly hostile. And you had Officer Anthony Pierce there that did a tremendous job in keeping, not only explaining what folks need to do, and if folks would listen sometimes, they would understand what they need to do, but wasn't an easy meeting to control, and Officer Anthony Pierce did a tremendous job in keeping on point and keeping the crowd under control and everything. So want to kudos to yourself and your leadership role as well as the entire community services unit.
Thank you, sir. What a difference a gun makes.
I would also like to thank Corporal Reynolds and Sergeant Reynolds and Corporal Tyler for also helping me out with the situation I had in one of my first problems. They were very, very helpful. So.
When he's on his 800th problem.
With that, Director, anything on community relations and things, different programs? I know that I believe our leadership was and officers were out at Rita's Water Race today.
Director Bryant, yes. And I'll turn to our good captain, Major, so and Captain were there at the meeting today to talk about their outstanding experience at the Rita's Water Race.
You're coming in,
Leader Wendy Seaver. Thank you, sir. We did have an opportunity today. We called it Chilling with Cops out at the Reader's Water Ice on 273 at Community Plaza. It was from 1 to 3. It was planned several weeks ago, long before anything that was going on over the last weekend started. It was a great showing. A lot of people showed up. It was kind of a few months ago we did Barista for the Day at Brouhaha. Then Tom Jackson had thought he had these great coffee making skills. We let him know that they weren't so very great. He asked to go to barista school in Italy, and we said the best we can do is Brouhaha on Pike Creek. So he went up there, and it was a great event. But today the turnout was just tremendous. The captain and I went, and we only had planned on staying for about a half hour. We were there for an hour and a half because we couldn't get away for the number of people that kept coming up to us and thanking us for our service, just wanting to talk. It was, you know, people from all over, so it was just a very tremendous event. The owners own a couple other Ritas, as well as they own Aunt Annie's Pretzels. So I believe Tracy and JP are going to be learning how to make pretzels next. We'll be going to Aunt Annie's. So just some really good events. We have a couple other things we're planning just to get out in the communities, let them know that police officers are people too. We like to have fun, and we just enjoy talking to them. We took the opportunity to recruit, and I didn't tell you this yet, Colonel, but we did have one. We recruited one person. We gave an application away while we were there. And we had our recruiters out as well as our PIOs, and so just a real good event. The media really caught on to it. I think every major news media was there, and I'm thinking it has something to do with what happened over the weekend, but still, hopefully the message is going out, the good message of the good relationship we have with the citizens that we serve. So just a very positive event. Thank you.
Councilman Smiley, thank you, Major.
I just want to say I'm very pleased to hear the feedback. People came out engaging the officers, because those of you that have attended TAPS or follow-up, that is what's classified through TAPS as the Wilton area. That is a part of that. And we do have significant problems now. So, I'm very glad to see that the people, of course, all we can do is help. That one crucial phone call that we need may come from someone that we interacted with today. So I appreciate it.
And as you say that, sir, the owner did reflect to me that he has a lot of family and friends that live in the Rutledge area, so we talked a little bit about the current homicide we have, and I told him, you know, no matter how big or small a thought that they have or something they saw, please call us. It may make a difference in it. So we've also been very active on social media. I don't know if you check our Facebook and just the real positive comments that have been coming across there. Our PIOs did a fantastic job of reaching out to the public, and you know, sometimes we put some silly stuff out, but they really seem to like it, and we get very positive comments.
And what I hear in part of your conversation before the meeting started, apparently some of our officers can write tickets better than they can scoop water ice.
Yes, sir. We need to send them to Rita School. They're not so very good. They made the line quite long in there, and we had to pull them out and let the real people come in.
And come out here and talk to them. You're not feeding them.
Probably wasn't fair. We were telling everyone to order real hard stuff, so that it was complicated for them. But so it was a very good time. Great show up.
Thank you.
And Major, you mentioned about, you know, taking the opportunity also for recruitment. I had a recent opportunity. I was down at Christiana Mall and coming out of J.C. Penney's one bright Saturday morning, and had bought myself what I considered a very stylish on-sale hat. And I walked out, and needless to say, I wear it too. I mean, it's got a little class to it. But I come out, and we had four of our female officers and part of our command staff here doing recruitment, and had everything set up and always looked sharp. But we had, when I walked around the mall, I came back by, you had families, you had kids, you had a lot of folks just stopping by to shake hands, meet folks, and also, you know, I'm sure that we got a few folks that may have be interested in a career in law enforcement, but they're the kind of things that I think that we're out in the public, excellent community relations, and just need to continue to build on it. So, Major, and then Joe, Director, do you have anything, or just?
No.
Okay, Major?
Just one other thing, we did go to Chick-fil-A recently and recruited there, so we're trying some different places to get out and actually in the communities and recruit. So they welcomed us, they had a nice welcome sign up and everything, sir.
So you didn't participate today, right, in National Cal Day, where if you dressed up and went there, you said, but I'm going to see those pictures. I mean, we actually have a staff member who has done that for his daughter before. I didn't either until I heard the radio. So if I had been on my way to work, I'd have been here.
Councilman Powers, and then Colonel Setting.
That address is 470 Maryland Line Road, Townsend, Delaware. It has a Delaware address, but it's a Maryland tax ID.
All right. Okay. Colonel.
Thank you, sir. Just want to remind all of council that next Thursday night at the Riverfront, we will be having our graduation. All are invited. I know it's tough, the evening events, but if you can make it, it's worth seeing. And, you know, when you're not too sure if young men and women still care about doing this job, come out and see one of these graduations. We've been blessed by council's support. I mean that. And if you have an opportunity to see the graduation, we'd like to recognize you.
Thank you, sir. Under other, anything? Sergeant?
Yes, sir. I did want to mention one additional thing. National Night Out will be August 2nd, Tuesday, August 2nd this year. And we've often gotten support from County Council, and we appreciate your support again this year.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Under other, anything under other? Okay, hearing none, public comment.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion made, second adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried.
Thanks.
Thank you.